Turn to John 21. John. Good job. You're almost there. Keep going. Stop. Too far. Other way. All right. John 21, verse 12. We are going to wrap up this series. Yes, Joey? Is after Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Right after. You're right. Right after. How many of you are skilled musically? Or singingly? How would you say that? Vocally, thank you. Vocally? Cello? We got a cello player? Yeah, sure, liar. All right, hey. If you are interested in music and growing, and Josie made this announcement, but I want to reiterate. If you have a heart for worship, you have a heart to grow in that, you're gifted, you should use those gifts, right? Talk to Pastor Scott or talk to myself and we will get you. Do you have a gift? I don't know. I'm asking those who are gifted, okay? If you have a gift, you could be growing in your gift, but you have to actually have a gift. You gotta have something. You gotta get somewhere to start with, okay? I've tried many times for lead vocalists and been kicked out numerous times. It's just not working, so I'm giving up. Ayo, we also have availabilities up there. You guys can do Pro Presenter, learn how to do that. Anybody have mad computer skills? Computer skills? All right, so anybody know what a podcast is? Sweet. Well, we do podcasts, but we're a little bit behind because we've given way too much work to Mike. First of all, give Mike Holland a round of applause. He's phenomenal. He comes every week. He serves you guys. And he does the sound every single week. And he's been doing our podcast as well. So we need some help with podcasts. If you are good at the computer and you want to do that, Mike can teach you. So talk to Mike about it. Hope that was cool to make that announcement because I haven't talked to you, but thumbs are up. That's good. So talk to Mike if you have computer hacking skills. Just computer skills. All right, John 21. We are in the last week. We are wrapping up this series on Where I Belong. So you better pay attention because we're wrapping it up. So if you missed any of these weeks, hey, no, I didn't really mean to step on you, but I don't want to stop. If you missed any of these weeks, I'm going to wrap it up and I'm going to summarize a little bit of it today. But I want us to finish up this series of Where I Belong so that you know where you belong. Right? The title of my message for Where I Belong is Now You Know, So Act Like It. That's a challenge. That's a call, right? I'm calling us to action this week. That we know where we belong, so we need to learn how to act on that. What does that look like? We're called to make action. We're called to take steps. If we know where we're belonging, where we're supposed to belong, then belong there, right? Be a part of it. Buy in. You with me? All right, John 21. Are you there? Sweet. Verse 12. It's up there. Our screen is so lame, it doesn't show all of it. It's close enough, you can guess. 21:12. Now come and have some breakfast. Now let me give a little bit of background. Breakfast sounds delicious, but actually they're eating fish, which sounds really weird for breakfast. But this is the story, okay? Jesus has already, you guys with me? Okay, thank you. Josie's here. All right, this is Jesus, right? Jesus is talking. Jesus has already died. He's already been buried. He's already been resurrected from the dead, and he's come back twice to the disciples already. He spoke to them face to face, right? One of them wasn't there, so he came back to all of them. He let them touch him to know that he was real, that he was really alive, right? And he came back for a purpose before he was ascending up to heaven to be at the right hand with God, right? He was showing to them what their lives would be, that they would all die, all of us would die naturally, but those who would believe in Jesus would be resurrected and go into heaven and sit with the Father in heaven, with Jesus, be one with them, be reconciled to the Father, right? That's what Jesus did. He died on the cross for them and for their sins, and he came back to prove that he was alive. So he had done this twice. He already showed up. They knew he was alive, but they still weren't really sure of what they should do from there. So they all go fishing, right? And if you know, you probably know this already. But they had been, some of them had been fishermen ahead of time, and Jesus had called them away from fishing and said, you are now called to be fishers of men, right? Not called to fish for fish, but fish for men, right? So he called them and given them this calling on their lives already. I'm going to sit right next to you, Caleb. That was Caleb, right? Okay, good. Right, he had already called them and showed them what they're called to be and lived a life with them for 3 years as an example of what they were to do, but they were still confused. So they went back to fishing. Jesus finds them fishing, asks them, hey, did you catch anything? They said no. So he says, put your nets on the other side. There's so much fish, they can barely bring it in. Peter jumps in the water, starts swimming to Jesus. Now they're on the shore and they're having some fish for breakfast. You with me? Following? Verse 12, now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to the disciples since he had been raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know that I love you. Then feed my lambs. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know that I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now Peter was so annoyed by then. Anybody ask you the same question over and over when you answered them right there? Why? If you have a 3-year-old, you know what that's like. You keep asking the same question and they still don't understand, or they'll keep asking you the same question. You answer them 1,000 times and they keep asking the same question. So Peter was hurt that Jesus had asked this question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Then Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to let him know of what kind of death he was going to glorify God with. Then Jesus told him, follow me. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you that you are with us. God, that you are alive. God, you're active in our hearts. God, I pray that you would activate that spirit that's inside us tonight. God, you would teach us your word. God, you would challenge our hearts. God, and teach us how to act on what we believe. God, how to act in knowing where we belong. God, how do we act on it? How do we become like that? Father, speak to us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen.
All right, so we know this is after the death, resurrection of Jesus. He comes back, speaks to them the third time. And so they know that Jesus is alive. They know everything that he's been teaching them is true, right? It's been confirmed. It's been shown. He's now alive again. He told them that he was the Messiah. They believed it, but now they really saw it and knew it. But they still went back to what they were used to, back to what they were comfortable with, because they didn't know where to go. Right? Peter knew what he was called to. He knew what he was called to be, yet he still went back and went fishing and he took everybody else with him. He was kind of the leader in that group. And that's why Jesus calls Peter and he takes him aside personally. He doesn't take everybody. He just takes Peter and basically calls him out right there. Peter, do you love me? Brandon, do you love me? You don't love me? Brandon, do you love me? Brandon, come on, I know you love me. Right? So Jesus is calling out Peter and he's saying, Peter, do you love me? And even though Brandon was lying to me and he really loves me, Peter's saying, yes, Jesus, you know that I love you. But Jesus keeps asking him the same question, asks him 3 times, do you really love me? Do you truly love me? Do you agape love me? Which means this unconditional love. Do you love me? What, there's this trust built inside of it. And he's asking, do you love me? Peter is pretty angry in this moment because he keeps asking him the same question. And he's saying, yes, you know that I love you. And Jesus is reminding him of this calling. He's reminding him of what he's called him to do. I've called you to feed my sheep. I've called you to take care of my sheep. I've called you to feed my lambs or my little sheep, right? I've called you and I've showed you how to be this leader amongst leaders. I've called you to be a pastor, right? Earlier in the book of Matthew, he calls out Peter and he renames him from Simon and calls him Peter, which means rock. And he says, on this rock, I will build my church. So he's calling Peter to build his church, to invest his life into people, to disciple people, to spread the gospel. He's called him to all these things, but Peter goes back to fishing. So Jesus has to remind him, look, this is what I've called you to do. I know you know this, but now start acting on it. Now start living this out. You know what you're called to do. You know who you're called to be. Now start living that way. And we've gone through this series of where we belong and we're figuring out, or we're knowing, which you probably already knew these, but we know now where we belong. We belong with God, first of all. We belong in unity with him, right? In oneness with him, seeking him, knowing his heart, knowing his word, knowing what he's called us to do. And we're also called to belong to one another in relationship. Me and Caleb, together forever, best friends. Right, Caleb? Don't trust me. Right? We're called to relationship with each other. We're called to be a part of this body, which the Bible calls the body of Christ, working together. We're also called to go out into the world and to invest our lives into unbelievers and lead people to Jesus, right? To spread the gospel, to be the example of God's love to others. We know that we're called to these three things. So what are we going to do about it? How are you going to live when you know what you're called to do? How are you going to live? And that's what Jesus is asking. Peter, you know what I've called you to do. So why are you fishing? Why are you here? I've called you to feed my lambs. If you really loved me, if you really trusted me, if you believed in the calling that I've given you, then you would be feeding my lambs right now. He didn't mean literally that he goes and feeds some sheep. Right? He's talking about people. He's talking about his investment in people's lives. He's talking about him being a pastor, an apostle, leading people, investing in their lives, feeding them the word. And basically, Jesus is asking him, what are you doing? You know where you belong. You know what you're called to, but what are you doing about it? Yeah, he had no clue. I don't know. We know what we're called to do. And God is calling us to actually act on that. We know we belong to God. First of all, I'm going to go through these again, and I want us to make an action to these actual points of, if we know that we're called to this, well, what are we going to do about it? Well, first, you belong to God. You belong in relationship with him. You belong knowing him. You belong reading your word more than once a week when I put the word up on the board for the first time ever. Thank you. Right? We're called to grow in our relationship with him, our knowledge, our understanding with him. So seek him first. We belong with him. And when we belong to somebody, it's like this close-knit relationship with somebody. When you really belong, you're not afraid to be with that person. You're not afraid to know that person. You're not embarrassed to be around them. You're not ashamed of them. You belong there. Right? It's like belonging to a team. You're one with that team. You're a part of that team. Unless your team is really terrible, then you probably are ashamed of your team. Right? The Bible says that when we come to know Jesus, now this is when you put your faith in him. For the first time you put your faith in Jesus, the Bible says that you are now a part of his family. He adopts you as sons and daughters. Ephesians 1, we'll get up on that. Ephesians 1 verse 4 says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us, or you, into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us, who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with his blood, with the blood of his son, and forgave us of our sins. He has showered us with kindness along with wisdom and understanding. He has called you to be his child. So act like a child of God. Any of you have parents? Nobody? Nobody raise their hand. Nope. I got no parents. I have parents. I have two of them. A mommy and a daddy. Right? I have parents, and I know ever since I was young, I knew I was their child. I was their son, and they're my mom, and they're my dad. I don't call my dad Ross. I don't call my mom Trisha. Right? I call them mom and dad. They're my mom, and they're my dad. I belong to them. Even though I'm 29 years old and married with two children, I still belong to my parents. I still feel a part of that relationship. I still feel connected to them. I know I can trust them. I know I can go to them for things. I know I can go to their house when they don't even know it and go into their kitchen and open up their fridge and take whatever out of it that I want. And they're not going to get mad at me because they love me and they care about me and they put food in there for me. Even though I'm 29 and shouldn't be going to my mama's house. But I do it anyways. Because I want some food. You know what I mean, Reese? That's my nephew. He does the same thing. Right? Because we know that we belong. I know I belong with them, with my parents. And I'm not afraid to talk to them about things. I'm not afraid to open up where I'm really at. I'm not afraid to tell them about the bad things I did when they didn't know about it. Now, 15 years later. Right? I'm not afraid to have a deep conversation with them. I'm not afraid to share my heart. I'm not afraid to go in their house. I feel comfortable. I feel like I'm a part of that family, like I belong. Because I do. I'm a part of that family. This is the same way God wants us to feel about him and our relationship with him, is that we belong there. Some of us feel like we don't belong. Some of us feel like our sin is what gets in our way, that we no longer belong to God. That maybe at one point when we put our faith in him, we believed, then we belong, but then we sin and we messed up and then we no longer belong. That's not the way that it works with God. Once you put your faith in Jesus, you belong to the family. You belong a part of the family. I feel like I need like an Italian mob voice right now. Part of the family. Everybody give your best Italian mob voice. That's terrible. That's awful. Right? We all belong a part of this family of God. You belong to him. And the way that he wants us to relate to him is to pursue him, is to ask him things. And the same thing, in the same way you would ask somebody close to you advice for something, direction. Right? I still ask my parents for advice and for direction and making big decisions. Right? Not that I'll listen to everything they say, but I'll take it in. Right? God wants us to tell him our issues, our hurts, our concerns, our worries, our doubts, our insecurities. He wants to know you. He wants to know everything about you. So if you belong to God, then act like it. Act like you are his son or you are his daughter. Right? Come boldly before him. Tell him what's going on really in your heart. Tell him when you're mad. Tell him when you're pissed. Lord, I'm upset right now. Speak to God. God wants you to share everything that's deep and intimate in your heart with him. That's how we grow in relationship with God, is when we open ourselves up to him. He wants us as his children to come boldly to him. Let's turn to Ephesians. Ephesians 3:12. I guess you don't have to turn. It's probably up there. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently to God's presence. That means all the time. Right? Whether you've sinned today, whether you sinned terribly yesterday, when you've blown it for like 6 months straight, God still loves you. He still invites you. He still welcomes you. You still belong. You're still a part of the family. And he wants you to act that way. He wants you to seek after him. He wants you to come boldly before him and say, Lord, this is my struggle. Or rejoice. God, I'm so thankful that this happened today. Right? God wants every emotion and feeling that we're going through. He doesn't get sick of your issues. Right? You guys might get sick of each other's issues. But God doesn't get sick of yours. He doesn't get sick of hearing you. It's like your child come, and most of you don't have children, let's keep it that way, for a long time. But I don't get sick of my daughter telling me the same complaint, that she has an owie on her finger that's completely normal and there's nothing there. But she wants a Band-Aid. Just because she wants to put a Band-Aid on. Right? I don't get sick of hearing that. I still love her. I still want her to come to me. I still want her to tell me about her fake injuries. Right? I still want her to know that I love her and I care about her. Right? I have to discipline my daughter because, well, recently she has not been going to bed. And it's obnoxious. She'll come up like 15 times and you'll take her back down and be like, okay, really, you need to stay in bed this time. Turn around, the door opens, she comes upstairs, take her back down, spank her, do something, lay her in bed, okay, don't get out again. You take away, she can't listen to Let It Go anymore for the next 6 weeks, right? You take those things away and she still keeps getting up over the same thing over and over and over, and you get so frustrated. You're like, oh my gosh, that's like 25 times tonight. I'm tired of going up and down the stairs. It's worse than yoga. Duct tape the door, yeah. I've thought about a child lock, at least the child lock handles. But the same thing over and over, but it doesn't make me love my daughter any less. I might be frustrated. I might be like really tired and just want to give up and go sleep outside, let her deal with it. But it doesn't change the way that I feel about her. It doesn't change how much I love her. It doesn't change how much I care about her and still want to take her in to her bed and tuck her in every single time. All right? And that's how God feels for us. We might feel like we're bringing the same thing to over him over and over, but that's how we get to know him and he gets to know us. He wants you to come boldly before him. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you've held on to, God wants you. Right? He wants you to be with him. If you're called to belong to him, then act like it, right? Don't be ashamed of him. Don't be embarrassed, right? These guys are laughing. Everybody turn and look at you. You're welcome. Right? Don't be ashamed of him. Don't be embarrassed of who you are in Christ. God wants you to come boldly before him and before people of sharing who you are in him, that you're not afraid to be honest with, this is where I am, this is who I believe in, right? This is my Father. Hebrews 4:14. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Then we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Jesus understands your weaknesses. He understands. Wow. Really? I don't know what happened. Jesus understands your weaknesses, right? He understands. I don't know either. Let's just keep going. I didn't make a joke. It wasn't me. It was Delvey. What's that? I said your bio? What does that mean? I'm so lost. Apparently that's on her Instagram bio. If you followed her, you would know. I apparently don't know. But Jesus understands where you're at. He's not afraid of your sin. He's not disappointed in your sin. He's not shocked when you sin. Brandon, he's not shocked by it. Right? He's not upset. He's not disappointed. Right? We have this feeling that God's upset and doesn't understand what we're going through. But Jesus has gone through all the same struggles and instances that we have been through. God understands and he relates to you. So if you know that you belong to God, then start living that way. Start living as though you belong. Okay, the second one. If you know that you're a part of the family, a part of this family, right? A part of the family of Christ. That's the second thing that we belong to. You belong to one another. You belong relationally to each other. Right? The Bible says that we are a body of Christ built together as one. Right? So if you are a part of the family, then don't act like a guest. Don't act like you're a guest in the house, right? And that you've got to act a certain way, right? Be real. Be who you are. I don't act like a guest in my own house with my family. I am hilarious today, right? I don't act like a guest in front of my wife and my kids. So don't act like a guest in this house, in this family, right? Contribute, be a part of the family, be a part of where we're going, a part of what we're doing together, right? Be united as a family. 1 John, I'm going to read through this real quick. 1 John 4, starting verse 11. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought into full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he lives in us. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. Let's skip down to verse 20. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. Anybody? Someone say me? Oh, me. You are a liar. For if we don't believe, For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? He's given us this command, those who love God must also love each other, or fellow believers. You're part of this body, this family. Learn to love each other. Learn to be in relationship with each other, right? Don't just show up every week and have acquaintances, right? That's what sets you apart, is you're an actual family. Connected, or that's what we're called to be. So pursue after each other. Pursue knowing each other a little deeper, right? Not just what each other's sports are, but grow to know what hurts are inside of each other. What's really going on in each other's lives? We should be able to be open and honest, not acting like a guest in a house, right? But a part of the family, that we're actually connecting with each other. We're actually committed to growing in this family, committed to understanding each other, committed to seeing somebody else grow in who they're called to be in Jesus, right? We're called to act like a family and to be a family. If you're called to be a part of the family, then act like it, right? Act like you belong. Don't act like you're wandering back and forth between churches, or you come some of the time and then you don't come. Be bought in, be together, be knit in. You're called to be a part of this family, so belong. Right? You belong here. Act as though you belong. Commit, stay connected. Go deep in your relationships. Don't have these surface relationships, right? Go deep in them. Get to know Caleb. This Caleb. Not that Caleb. Just this one. Right? Get to know him. Get to know each other. Actually share what's really going on. Get into a small group, right? We're going to start developing more small groups in this church. Josie's got one going. I'm going to have one going soon, right? Get into a small group. Start growing relationally with people. Start investing your heart into someone. Start investing your life into sharing who you really are, right? That's what sets us apart from the rest of the world, is the depth of our relationships, the love that's inside of us, allowing that to really come out and get connected. Be an active member of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Many of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body, into one Spirit, and we all share that same Spirit. But our bodies have many parts, verse 18, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one giant eyeball. Be pretty sweet. Mike Wazowski, that's awesome. Right? How weird would it be if we only were one arm moving around? That'd be disgusting. I want to be an arm. Right? Yes, there are many parts, but one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. Touche. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. All of you, say me. All of you are Christ's body and each of you are a part of it, right? We're all called to be a part of a family, a part of this body using our abilities and gifts. I tried to turn that into one word and it was weird. We all have separate abilities. We all are gifted in different ways. We all look different, right? We all contribute in different ways. But together as a family, we're called to work together in unity, right? If you have that gift, if you have an ability, use that, right? If you are a part of this family, then be an active member in the family. If you're good at encouraging people, then start building people up. If you're really strong at making people feel included, start using that gift to gather people in. Make them feel a part of that family. Right? If you're gifted in really showing love and caring for people that are like super broken and or obnoxious or really smelly. Right? Start loving those people. Did you just call each other out? That's mean. Right? Be an active member. If you're called to belong to something, then act like it. You're a part of this family, so act like it. Right? Anybody play any sports? You don't play sports. Video games are not a sport. That doesn't count. Oh, okay, baseball. All right? If you're a part of a team, right? You know what it's like to contribute, to be an active member of that team, unless you're a part of some individual sport, like cross-country running or cross-country skiing. But it's still a team sport. You still work together as a team. Right? But if you're a part of a team, follow me. If you're part of a team, you want to be an active contributing member to that team. You don't want to sit on the bench and do nothing. Right? You want to be out there. You want to be contributing. If you're a basketball player, you want to be in there grabbing rebounds. If you're big, you want to be shooting threes. That's all I like to do. Right? You want to be playing defense. You want to actively be contributing and be a part of that team to improve them, to make them better, to play your part. Right? Nobody goes in the middle of a game and tries to play as terrible as they can. That's just embarrassing for you. Don't do that. Right? Everybody's watching you. Right? It takes a whole team to be together, to work together. Right? LeBron James didn't win a championship till he had Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh with him. Right? Till he got all these, he'll win another one because he's got Kevin Love now, Kyrie Irving. Right? But he needs people around him that can contribute. And that's what the body of Christ is like. Everybody working together, growing relationally with each other, learning who each other really is, being open and honest, growing in the struggles that we have, right? That we can give each other comfort and peace. We can pray for one another. We can build each other up. We can give advice to one another. Right? That's what a body actively working together should look like. Right? And they're working together in their gifts. Those who love are loving people should be all of you. Right? Those who are super kind and gentle should be using that to bless somebody else. Right? Those of you that have gifts, just physical gifts, like being able to play instrument. Thank you. I keep trying to say sport. An instrument, right? Contribute. Be an active part of the family. Join the worship team. Play your instrument for Jesus. Right? Don't wait for somebody to call you out and say, hey, you have an awesome voice. Come sing. Be an active member and come contribute. Say, I want to be a part of this. I want to grow in this. I want to grow in this gift and this ability that God's given me. Be active in this community. God wants you to know that you belong and act like you belong. Not just show up and sit in the back, But to be a part of a family, to be a part of this group, when you see needs in this group, you meet those needs. You don't wait for Delave to meet them. You go after those people and you meet those needs. You care for them. Right? You meet all those needs. That's what I'm talking about. Yes. Go Delave. That's so weird. Live a life that is full in that. Live a life that is full in loving people, loving one another, serving each other, looking for opportunities to bless, looking opportunities to serve in your church. I'm serving the sound team. Give Mike a break. Right? Use the gifts that God has given you to be an active member. Activate that gift inside of you. The last one is you belong in the world, right? We talked about this one last week. We belong in the world, not to the world. You don't belong to the world. You don't belong like the world, but you belong in it. Living as an active member of the body of Christ, be an example in your life to the world. Be an example to unbelievers, being around unbelievers and loving them and caring for them. Right? You are called to belong in the world, not just to be alone in your relationship with God and become a monk and just serve God every day. Right? He's placed us in relationship with Him, relationship with each other, and relationship with unbelievers. That's how we're called to constantly live our life, that we're living all three of these. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, I was trying to say Matthew, but I said Jesus. It's close. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all of these commands I have given you. And be sure of this, that I'm always with you, even to the end of the age. That's a long time. You are called to make disciples. That was not just for the disciples then. That's for all of us to come, right? We're all called to go out, to make disciples, to invest our lives into people, to love unbelievers, to live a life that is full in Christ Jesus. You are called to live these three things all the time. Loving God, loving one another, and loving those who don't know Jesus. To be active in your community, to be active in your church, to be active in your relationship with God. You should constantly be growing in these three. Just think about the impact we can make as a body of Christ in this city. Just think about all the people that you know that don't know Jesus. Right? And if all of us were growing in our faith and growing in our understanding of God, growing in our relationship with Him, we're all actively growing in this community, in this church together, growing in relationship with each other. Just think about the impact we can make in this whole city when we work together as a body. That's what Jesus was talking to Peter about. Jesus said, I'm calling you. I have this calling on your life, and you're basically just sitting here going back to fishing. When we know where we belong and we know who we belong to and what we're called to do, don't just sit there and do nothing or go back to what's easy and what's normal. But be a part of it. Take an active approach to it. Be intentional to live a life for Him. To live a life of blessing people out in the world, of showing the love of God, of being active in your community. God is calling you to live a full life in Him, and it comes through growing in your relationship with Him, one another, and being in the world all at the same time. You're called to belong. And this is what you belong to. You belong to each other. Look around at the people in this room. You belong to each other. Right? You belong in your relationship with God. So be intentional with the way that you live. Be intentional with who you are with unbelievers. When you're out in the world, be intentional with who you are. 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let anybody think less of you because you're young, but be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and in your purity. Always look for opportunities to be a blessing. You know where you belong. You know what you belong to. So actively pursue that in your life. Take an action. Take a step of faith. Right? Some of us, it's easy in our relationship with God. Right? It's easy for you to spend time alone with Him and you can grow and you know your word really well. But you don't have a whole lot of close relationships with believers. Or maybe you have a lot of close relationship with believers, but you don't have this close intimate relationship with God. Because you're very outgoing or you're an extrovert, a high extrovert, and it's hard for you to spend alone time. That's me. Right? Or maybe it's just hard for you to go out in the world and be a light, be an example, and be who you're called to be with unbelievers. And my challenge, and God, I believe God's challenge for us tonight, is that we would be those three. That we would look at the areas of our life that we are lacking in. Do you know that you belong to God in relationship with Him, but you don't really feel like you belong in this family? Or do you feel like you belong in this family, but you don't really belong out in the world, and it's hard for you to live an example outside the world, and you're living two different lives? God is calling us to belong to these three areas, that we belong to Him, we belong to one another, we belong in this world. And you can make an impact and a difference in your school, in your family, if you continue to live this way. Will you stand with me? I want to pray over us, and then we're going to get out of here. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Don't hide your light. Don't hide the example that you're called to be. Don't be afraid of relationship with people. Don't be afraid of your relationship with God. Don't be embarrassed of what God has called you to be and who He's called you to be. Live a life that is full in Him. All of us can live this full, impactful life. But we have to continually pursue our relationship with God. You got to continually be in your word. Continually growing in Him. Continually growing in your understanding of who He is. Right? Knowing His promises and how He can bring comfort and how He can bring peace. Knowing Him intimately. You have to grow in this. We have to grow in our relationship with each other. I challenge you to really open up your life to one another. Specifically, guys with guys, girls with girls. I'm not saying you can't have a relationship with another person, the opposite sex. But those deep, those intimate relationships, right? We should really open up guys with other guys. Share where you're really at. Share your struggles. Share your heart. Share your desires. God wants us to work as a family, as a body, but we have to be open. We have to be honest. And start being an active member. Start contributing. Be a part of this family. Buy in completely. Commit. Don't be afraid of being rejected. Put yourself out there. Start loving people. And know that you belong in the world as well. But you have to be with God and with one another, or you're just going to get pulled away. If you're constantly just saying, well, I'm called to the world, and you're constantly out in the world, you're going to start just looking like the world. That's why we need each other. We need to build each other up. We need to believe in one another. We need to call out the potential in each other. And we need to keep our relationship with God strong and intimate. So I want you to close your eyes. I want us to think about this. What is that area that we're really neglecting? Or either we feel like we don't belong, or we feel like we just aren't an active member of that. Is it your relationship with Jesus? You just feel like, man, every time I sin, I feel so far away from God. Every time I mess up, I feel like He doesn't forgive me. Or the only time I'm ever growing is when I'm with other people. I'm not growing in just my one-on-one relationship with God. I'm not spending time alone with Him. I challenge you to be active, to go after that. See, when Jesus is talking to Peter, He says, basically He's telling him this. It's, Peter, I know you know what you're called to do. I know where you belong, but you're not living like it. You're going back to fishing. You're going back to your old habits. You're going back to what you're used to, what you're comfortable with. But I've called you to something different. I've called you to something higher. I've called you to be a fisher of men. I've called you to feed my sheep. And maybe that's you, and that you're feeling like you know where you belong. You know that you're called to this family. You know that you're called to God. But it's just too easy to be back in your old habits and back to what you want to do. Maybe tonight you want to say, Lord, I want to change my heart in that. I know I belong to you. I'm going to start acting it out. I know I belong to you. I'm going to start being active in my faith. I'm going to start being active in this body. I've been hiding who I really am. I'm going to start telling somebody. I've been afraid to tell anybody, any of my friends that don't believe in Jesus, that I love Jesus, that I have a relationship with him, that I'm a Christian, that I'm a believer. Maybe you have a hard time with that. I just encourage you right where you're at, just start praying to God. Start asking him, Lord, empower me. God, give me the strength to really act on this, to really be that example at my school, to really be that example in my family, to really connect my heart, to grow deeper in my relationships. I don't want shallow relationships anymore. I want them to grow, get deeper. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just lay these things on our heart. God, you would challenge our hearts to grow even deeper in our relationship with you. God, we would know where we belong, God, and we would act on it. We would live that way. It would come out of us every day, God. We would constantly be pursuing you. We would constantly be pursuing relationship, God. We would constantly be sharing and shining the light and the love of God that's living inside of us. God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that empowers us. And God, we ask that you would activate the Holy Spirit in us to be like you, God, to love people the way you do. God, to be honest with where we're really at, to be unafraid and unashamed. God, empower us tonight. Activate our spirit and our hearts. I encourage you, just take a minute. Ask him to fill up your heart. Challenge you to speak to you. To activate that in your life. We want to be active in our faith. God, we want to be active in our pursuit of you. I pray that you would bring unity to this body. You bring oneness to us, God. You would challenge our relationships. You would highlight who you really are and what you can really do through us when we're working together as a body and as a family. God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for who you are in our lives. And ask that you would keep growing us and shaping us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm blessed to know you guys. I feel like this is a body. That this is a family. And I want us all to feel that way. That we actively are pursuing each other in that. That it's hard to be active in your faith out in the world. But you need each other to empower each other, to build each other up. So be active in your faith. Be active in your relationships. Be active in your personal life with Jesus. Amen. And then we'll see you guys next week.